Stellenbosch University has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Special Investigations Unit of South Africa, that is South Africa's Corruption Busting Unit, to find new approaches and strategies in the fight against corruption. And we have Coogan Pillay, a board member at the Anti-Corruption Center for Education and Research at Stellenbosch, and he's a governance expert with us in the BizNews studio to discuss that. Hi, Coogan. Welcome to BizNews.
Well, thank you, Lila, for the opportunity. Good afternoon to you and your viewers.
Well, I think before we discuss this specific unit that or this collaboration, we first have to go into your background, because you have worked with Thuli Madonsela, the previous public protector, on corruption.
Well, just some background. I served previously in Advocate Madonsela's advisory board for good governance when she was public protector. And then subsequent to that, I served in the presidency as well as in the SIU on helping to finalize the National Anti-Corruption Strategy. And that was 5 years ago, and I helped to finalize it with a team of experts. It's been finalized 5 years ago, signed by the president, adopted by the cabinet. But 5 years later, we see very little signed up implementation. And that is why I'm still involved in this space. And I'm working with various civil society players. And more recently, I've been appointed to the board of the Stellenbosch School of Leadership Anti-Corruption Unit, which you rightfully said is excellent.
Well, before we get to that, so why do you think we haven't made any progress? I've just looked at some statistics like from the Transparency International Corruption Perceptions Index, where it ranks us, what, 83 out of 180 countries, and it actually went down from last year. So why haven't we made any progress in fighting corruption in the country?
I think the main problem is the lack of political will, which is not just a phenomenon in South Africa or Africa, but global. And I think for me, the interest is more because I'm a South African citizen and coming into a democratic era in 1994, we had a huge task of rebuilding the country post the colonial and apartheid era. And no sooner had we started that process with Mandela than we had state capture and grand corruption under Jacob Zuma. And a big sign of hope and the new dawn was when President Ramaphosa came in 5 years ago. But unfortunately, since he's come in, as you rightfully said, it appears to have worsened. And it's mainly because as much as a few things have been done, we've really failed in implementation, and that comes from the political will, and that's the ability to hold each other in one's political party, in this case the ANC mainly, to account. And I think from that perspective, we've just come out of an election, as you know. We are currently busy negotiating a new government of national unity, and I'm hoping that will make a big difference. But still, it requires active citizens. In other words, civil society and the various stakeholders together with citizens nationally to put pressure on government to start making an impact on the devastation of corruption and state capture.
Well, what can ordinary citizens do? Because also one of those figures that I've cited from the Corruption Index is that 18% of public service users pay bribes. So, you know, what can people do to help this process of fighting corruption in the country?
I think your question also leads me to then to the main subject of the MRU with the SRU, and I want to answer both because your question is what can citizens do, and you're quite right. Civil society and citizens are least resourced, so but they have the power of the vote, and we've seen it now in the election. It's the first time, it's a historic position. For the last 30 years that the ANC has lost the majority, from 57% the last time to now 40%. So that's the big dent. But you're quite right, how does it translate into the bread and butter issues on the ground? And I think that's where the MOU comes from. Stellenbosch is well-resourced with internationally acclaimed researchers, and we've now put an MOU together with the SIU. And the SIU is one of those institutions that have not been affected by state capture, luckily. So we are blessed to have had that with the SIU. And they've just started, they've come out with a report now on some of the successes of the post covert corruption. And I see this MOU and our collaboration as taking forward that success and building on it. And going into the new administration, the SRU is now looking at the state-owned enterprises that have been decimated by state capture, other critical areas that have been highlighted by the Zondo Commission and the Zondo report. So I think our collaboration will help in terms of fast-tracking that, but also helping to capacitate the SRU with critical skills required, and also bringing in other international partners to help with the fight against corruption, because corruption has impacted the socioeconomic conditions of citizens. Our poverty has worsened, the inequality has worsened, the unemployment has worsened. So we have all these lovely grants from 1994 in the NDP, in the Constitution, but we really haven't done too well because of corruption and political the lack of political will.
Well, you talked about this collaboration. So how did this collaboration with Stellenbosch come about?
There are students from the SRU that have already been enrolled for courses at the Anti-Corruption Center, as well as the School of Leadership in Stellenbosch University, in various programs, undergraduate, master's, as well as PhD. And it came from them, so it's nice to know it's demand-driven. So they laid the request at the SRU leadership, and that's where this came from. So the leadership of the SRU, approached the leadership of Stellenbosch University, the Anti-Corruption Center, and the School of Leadership towards this MOU. And we see this process, especially this next administration, working closely with the SRU to see how we could capacitate them, how we could help fast-track. Because as you know, we've had state capture, we've had the Zondo report, but there's been very little signs of implementation from the executive. And I'm hoping this partnership, together with other partners, international and local, that could help us in this fight. And then also, with the new election results and a government of national unity being formed presently, that might also play a role.
So, are you looking for new approaches, or what exactly are you hoping to get out of this collaboration?
You know, when you started off, you spoke about new strategies, and I must mention, we have the best strategies there. We have the best laws in place, but there's been very poor signs of, when I say political will, it's a lack of ability to implement. So we have the strategies, but it's hard to implement. And the head of the SRU, at our recent engagement, spoke about needing help and support in implementing, not just at the South African level, but also at the recent, at the regional SADC level, within the AU. So what we hope to do is to bring in some of the best brains locally and internationally, and draw on that, and bring this to bear so that we can have some implementation. One of the problems we've had is the wealthy, especially those that have been implicated in corruption, adopting Stalingrad approaches, abusing the court system, and these trials go on forever and ever with no accountability. And in that time, people that have played a strong role in expanding corruption, some of the whistleblowers that you might know of, they've borne the brunt of it. So some of the important interventions we have planned, is, and it came out in the conference, was number one, to relook at the prioritization of the budget. In some cases, we've seen budgets skewed in favor of government as opposed to the people. So that's an important area. And another important area is whistleblower protection and support. And this has been an ongoing subject for a while now. And colleagues at the conference expressed frustration and disappointment at the slow pace of implementation. Again, it's about implementation. So that's another critical area. Another area or a possible intervention is something that I'm working closely with Justice Richard Goldstone. You might know him, former Justice of the Constitutional Court during Mandela's time, and also worked on various international tribunals. So we're working on the establishment of an international anti-corruption court. The main reason is, again, We have all the laws, as you know. We have the mechanism called UNCTAD, which is in existence for about 20 years. But there's been very poor signs of implementation from the various countries that are signatories to that. So the idea of an international anti-corruption court is twofold. One is to assist in criminal prosecution, mainly kleptocrats, and secondly, it's to also assist in the repatriation of stolen funds that are sitting in different countries. In this regard, we're also working closely with one of your colleagues in the UK, Lord Peter Hearn, who's been a very strong advocate for measures against corruption. You might remember him, he played a role during the anti-apartheid era, and is now playing a strong role on the anti-corruption and supporting it. So this mechanism of an international anti-corruption court is a campaign of an NGO called Integrity Initiatives International, which is based in the U.S., but it's international. And Justice Goldstone is leading the treaty drafting for that. And I'm co-chair of the Africa subcommittee because we believe Africa is an important area that corruption has played a big role in other development. And it's led by a judge from the U.S., Judge Mark Wolf, with Justice Goldstone being the vice chair.
So that's on the international level. So I'm just trying to work out where status comes into all of this.
So the International Anti-Corruption Court, for example, comes a couple of decades ago when post-World War II, we had the first developments around international law and then later on the International Criminal Court, which came in during Mandela's time. So that was a couple of decades. And obviously, there's been a lot of research in that particular regard. But in terms of South Africa and our training at Stellenbosch University, the masters, the PhDs, these are aimed at policy and evidence to suggest where the gaps are in policy, whether it's new policy, whether it's amendments of policy, or whether it's implementation. As I've indicated to you, we seem to have one of the best constitutions. It's been renowned, the 1994 constitution during Mandela's time. And more recently, we have other instruments. We have the National Anti-Corruption Strategy. We have various, I mentioned UNCTAD, that's been in place for 20 years. So it's not political will. And when I say political will, how do you get good people committed to making a difference on the planet? We can see the impact of wars. We see it in the Middle East. We see it in Russia. On the impact on women, on children. And this conference that we had was on gender and corruption. And if you ask me why, it's mainly the impact on women and it's the impact on children who are the more vulnerable in society. And some of the issues coming out of the conference try to tackle that, exactly that. And the key issues, I mean, Justice Zondo in his report, when handing over his state capture report, he was very clear the two main factors causing state capture was a lack of accountability and the deep deficit of integrity. And integrity goes to dishonesty, it goes to greed, and all these we have seen have had an impact on all the social ills, such as crime, corruption, murder, poverty, hunger, and hence he talks to the stats that you mentioned earlier in terms of the corruption stats that are worsening. So if you ask me, yes, Stellenbosch University has been leading this area. I've been proud to be nominated as board member. And with the activism and energy of myself and other colleagues, we are open for this not just to be academic, but to be academic and also have a practical effect. Hence the MOU between an academic partner as well as an institution of governance. Fortunately, this institution was not affected during state capture, but we have many other institutions of our democracy that have been affected by state capture, such as the NPA, SARS for that matter. And I think the learning coming out of this association could help the other institutions of democracy to be rebuilt and together with the new government of national unity, hopefully bring us back onto the path that we had set for ourselves in 1994 under Mandela.
Coogan Pillay, thank you so much for speaking to us. And I think we should definitely keep in touch with you to see how this is going and whether we could actually make a dent in corruption in South Africa.
Well, Linda, thank you for the opportunity. And it's good to know that you are South African and now in the UK. So you are carrying a global flag. So that will help us here as we champion this message, not just in South Africa and Africa, but globally. The fight against corruption is a global one.